The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 8, Text Number 18, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 22, 2007, in Suva, Fiji.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 8, Questions by King Parikshit, Text Number 18.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Nrinam Sadharana Dharma Savishesha Cha Yadrisha Shreninam Rajarshinam Cha Dharma Krishtreshu Jivatam Nridang Sadharano Dharma Savishesh Chayadrisha Shainirang Rajasinang Cha Dharmat Krishtesu Jivatam Nridang Sadharano Dharma Savisheshascha Yadrisha Shaninang Rajasinang Cha Dharmat Krishtesu Jivatam Nrinam of human society Sadharana general Dharma religious affiliation, Savishesha, specific, Cha, also, Yadrisha, as they are, Shreninam, of the particular three classes, Rajarshinam, of the saintly royal order, Cha, also, dharma, occupational duty, krishtreshu, in the matter of distressed conditions, jivatam, of the living beings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Please also explain what may generally be the common religious affiliations of human society, as well as their specific occupational duties in religion, the classification of the social orders, as well as the administrative royal orders, and the religious principles for one who may be in distress. Purport. The common religion of all classes of human beings, regardless of whosoever and whatsoever one may be, is devotional service. Even the animals may be included in devotional service of the Lord. And the best example is set by Sri Rajangaji, or Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Sri Ram. As we have already discussed, even the aborigines and cannibals can also be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord if they happen to be under the guidance of a genuine devotee of the Lord. In the Skanda Purana, there is a narration that a hunter in the jungle became the most enlightened devotee of the Lord by the guidance of Sri Narad Muni. Therefore, devotional service of the Lord can be equally shared by every living being. Religious affiliation in terms of different countries and cultural circumstances is obviously not the common religion of the human being. Rather, the basic principle is devotional service. Even if a particular type of religious principle does not recognize the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the followers still have to obey the disciplinary principles laid down by a particular leader. Such a leader of a religious sect is never the supreme leader, because such a circumstantial leader comes to the position of leadership after undergoing some penances. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not, however, require to be under disciplinary action to become leader, as we see in the activities of Lord Krishna. The occupational duties of the castes and the orders of society, following the principles of livelihood, also depend on the principle of devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that a person can achieve the highest perfection of life simply by awarding the results of his occupational duties unto the devotional service of the Lord. People following the principles of devotional service to the Lord can never be put into difficulty, and thus there cannot be any question of apad, dharma, or religion in distress, as will be explained in this book by the greatest authority, Srila Shukadeva Goswami. There is no religion save and except the devotional service of the Lord, though this may be presented in different forms. Om Jnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. This is a very interesting statement here. People following the principles of devotional service to the Lord can never be put into difficulty. So one may ask, what about Kunti Devi? She was in so much difficulty. So how Prabhupada can say that someone who is following the principles of devotional service to the Lord can never be put into difficulty? Is that a contradiction? No, there's no such thing as a contradiction in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is simply a matter of proper understanding. So, this means, even though the devotee of the Lord may appear to be in so many difficulties from the external point of view, you see, actually, the devotee of the Lord is never in any difficulty. Why is that? Because in each and every difficulty, they directly perceive the hand of the Lord. They never feel cut off from the Lord in any situation. They always feel how the Lord is protecting them, even in the most calamitous, difficult situation. They always see this is Krishna's perfect arrangement to bring me back to his abode. We've been discussing this lately in our lectures here in Fiji. A nice example which I've mentioned here previously. The sailor, the one who is sailing not by petrol or by rowing, but by the wind, by using a sail. According to the natural laws, the way the wind and the way laws of physics actually work on a sail, a sailor can go directly into the wind, which is an amazing thing. He can use the wind, the power blowing this way, to go directly into the wind. So much, no matter which way the wind blows, he can go wherever he needs to go. So he doesn't feel that a wind coming straight at him from the direction that he wants to go is a difficulty. He says, this is very good. I can use this wind to get where I want to go. So in the same way, even in a so-called reverse or adverse our difficult or stressful situation, the devotee feels no distress. As Prabhupada says, there cannot be any question of apad, dharma, or religion in distress. Distress, difficulty, these things are simply our conditioned consciousness. That's all. We are thinking difficulty. We are thinking distress. That is our ignorance. That is our illusion. There cannot be any difficulty for a person who is purely fixed in Krishna consciousness. Note the word purely. You see, you can be impurely Krishna conscious, or you can be purely Krishna conscious. That's why we have different levels of devotees. There's Kanishta Adhikari, Majjhima Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari. There's different levels of devotional service. The perfection is Ahaitaki Bhakti. As we have many times pointed out, Ahaitaki Pratiyata Yayatma Supersedati. Devotional service must be totally beyond any form of material motivation, Ahaitaki, and it must be a Pratiyata. It must be non-stop, 24 hours a day, round the clock, 24/7 devotional service. You see. For what purpose? Yenatma supersedati. In order to completely satisfy the self, it has to be like that. If my devotional service is sometimes I do devotional service, sometimes I watch mundane television programs, sometimes I go to the cinema. You see, that's broken devotional service. That's not unbroken. If we engage in devotional service like that, mixing it, like we've seen in one country, not Fiji, but one country we visited, the pujaris would do very nice puja and then they would go to the cinema, you see. This is a very sinful thing, actually. to use Krishna's Lakshmi for mundane movies, you see. So we have seen that in one, not here, but we saw that in one country we were visiting previously. In Australia we saw in one place. The Vajaris were doing like that. So this is called broken devotional service. It's not unbroken, a pratiyata. It's broken. So the difficulty is, with such sort of devotional activities, we don't become satisfied, that's all. We just don't become satisfied. We feel something missing. We feel something lacking. We don't taste the nectar that we could be tasting. Then we may sometimes doubt, well, maybe there's something wrong with the process of Krishna consciousness. Or maybe, you know, maybe ISKCON isn't giving it to us in the right way. There may be doubts like this. You see. But no, that's not true. Prabhupada is the greatest acharya in the history of the universe. He has understood how to give the science of bhakti in such a way that every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet can take up this Krishna consciousness movement, you see. He's not a guru for a village or for a town or for a city. He is Jagat Guru, you see. He has the perfect vision and it has been perfectly given in the form of this movement. Whatever imperfections are there in ISKCON, that's us. That's not Prabhupada. You see. Prabhupada has given us the pure ISKCON. So even if our impurities are there, just like the Ganga, it is pure. But there's so many impurities. People pass stool in the Ganga, you know. There's corpses floating in the Ganga. But still, in spite of all the contamination floating in Ganga, Ganga is purified. So even though there's so much contamination in ISKCON, just like Sankarshan Das Adhikari. He's one of the pieces of stool floating in the pure ISKCON river, you see. Even though there's so much stool here, still we can take our bath in this the Ganga of ISKCON and become completely purified of all our impurities. So it's such a wonderful thing. By this Krishna consciousness movement, we can get free of all contamination. It doesn't matter how dirty we are, how contaminated we are, how wretchedly proud and, you know, conceited and arrogant we may be, which we are. I mean, that's the fact. We're actually horribly proud, conceited, arrogant. I mean, it's our nature. I mean, it's the Kali Yuga. What can you do? I mean, we are products of the Kali Yuga. That's a fact. Prayanalpha, Yusha Sabya, Kalavasmin Yuge, Manasanaha, Mandasu Mandamatyo, Mandabhagya Hyuparadruta. What can we do? We are wretched, contaminated Kali Yugaites. But Srila Prabhupada is so compassionate. Where is that compassion? There was no guru. There was no guru. There was no Vaishnava who had that compassion, you see. None of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's followers would come out of India. One who tried, he was a complete failure in London. Because he didn't know how to do it. He didn't really know how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. There was only one disciple, one follower of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, who had the vision, who had the depth of compassion necessary to inundate the entire world in a tidal wave of Krishna prema, and that is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He is that greatest Vaishnava who understood fully well how to inundate the entire world in this tidal wave of Krishna prema. And what he is giving is so pure and so perfect that if we plug fully 100% into this system of self-realization that Prabhupada is giving us in these books and practically manifest it in the form of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, if we plug into this, then we will attain this state where we never experience any difficulty. Wouldn't you like that? To be in a state where you never feel any difficulty? No distress, no difficulty. Wouldn't that be great? You see? This is what Prabhupada is giving us. This is not pseudo stuff here that Prabhupada is giving us. This is the real thing. He's teaching us how to come to the platform, the perfectional stage of self-realization, beyond Brahman realization, beyond Paramatma realization. That stage where you become so purified that you can directly perceive Krishna face to face. This is not simply another Hindu temple, a Hindu organization. We do a little puja, do a little pious work, and we pat each other on the back that I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay because we all chant Hare Krishna. No. This is a system to completely purify the heart of all the dirt accumulated for millions and billions of years, so that one can re-enter into one's eternal rasa with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a gopi, as a gopa, in a parental mood, in a friendship mood, in a neutral mood like a flute, you see. Prabhupada is giving us the full system, the perfect means by which we can regain our original spiritual identity, Svarup Siddhi, which we actually have, but we forgot about it. Each and every one of us has an eternal relationship with Krishna. We didn't come out of some void, or we actually have a relationship with Krishna eternally. And by this process, that becomes reawakened, that becomes revived. That's the meaning of Nitya Siddha. It's described, Nitya Siddha. When you actually regain your original rasa, your relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world, which is a world of timelessness, there will be no time that you were ever not there. It's inconceivable. But actually, it works that way. Even in this material world, tomorrow, Vishnu Priya Mataji and I will be flying to Los Angeles. And we will be arriving 10 hours before we left from Nandi. And that's amazing. It always amazes me when I land in LA and I got to turn my watch back that I have now landed 10 hours before I left. I haven't left Fiji yet, but I'm already in Los Angeles. Tonight I'm leaving Fiji, but here I am in the middle of the afternoon in Los Angeles, you see. It's amazing. So if even in this material world you can leave a place, you can arrive at a place 10 hours before you left the previous place. Then actually when you go back to Godhead, you will have never left it. Why is that? Because the junction point between the two dimensions, the Viraja River, which is there's no time there. It's a place of perfect timelessness. So there's actually no time when you fall into the material world. That's why you're Nitya Buddha when you're here. And when you cross back over, there was no time when you entered. So you were always there. I mean, it's inconceivable. But this understanding perfectly explains Nitya Buddha and Nitya Siddha. It's actually given in detail in a Back to Godhead article by Rabindra Sarup Prabhu several years ago. It's a wonderful article. I'm just giving you a little nutshell version. So when we actually re-enter into the spiritual world, we'll see that actually I've always been here. I just somehow forgot that I'm here. And I was dreaming that I was Mr. Such and Such in Fiji, you see. Or I was a bird or a dolphin or a kangaroo or a mango tree. It was just a dream I was going through. Actually, my eternal identity is to be this devotee of Krishna in the pastimes of the Lord. That's who I've always been and I'll always be. But somehow or other, because I thought, well, what would it be like to be Krishna? So I went into this dreamlike state where I was thinking, yes, I am the Lord. I am the enjoyer, and I was suffering like anything in that condition. Because it's not who I am. If you try to be someone who you are not, do you think you can ever be satisfied? Is it possible? It's not possible. All we have to do to become fully satisfied is just to know who we are and to be who we are. If anybody asks you, what is your Hare Krishna philosophy? In a very simple way, you can tell them this. Know who you are and be who you are. Last year when we were leaving to go to LA from Nandi Airport, as I mentioned the other day, one very belligerent atheist, Western, some sort of Western person, thought he would have fun defeating a Hare Krishna. And he said, what is your belief? And he wanted to smash me, I could see it. He was just itching to really make me look like an idiot. He said, what's your philosophy? What do you believe in your religion? I said, know who you are and be who you are. He couldn't say anything. He couldn't say a word, you know. What person in there who has even the slightest tinge of sanity would disagree with knowing who they are? You see? Any person who even has the slightest degree of sanity has to understand, yeah, it would be good to know who I am and to be who I am, you see? So that's really all we're doing. This is not a brainwashed cult. This is not Hinduism. This is a scientific system to teach people who you are. That's all. Jivera Sarupahoi, Krishnera Nichidas. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. And here, the sadhana bhakti system will enable you to actually engage in being who you are. And through that sadhana system, then gradually you'll come to Raganuga platform. You become fully liberated. You become reinstated in your natural proclivity. In the beginning stage, we're rowing upstream to become Krishna conscious. The beginning, the tide of material nature is carrying us down into the ocean of birth and death, you see. So we have to row like anything. We're going upstream. We don't want to get up early for Mangalarti, but we get up. We don't want to, you know, sit in the Bhagavatam class, but we come because we know I need this. This is my medicine. We don't want to do so many things. We just want to sleep, eat, mate, and defend and watch television, you see. But we curb that down. We say, no, I must do this. So in the beginning, we're rowing upstream. It's an endeavor. If we stop rowing, what happens? You go the opposite direction. So we have to always be pushing ourselves to advance in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you lose ground. But then what happens? At a certain point, you cross over this hump. You reach a certain point where the flow goes in the opposite direction. Raganuga platform, you see, where it becomes spontaneous enthusiasm, and then Krishna consciousness just carries you. It's just like being in the Ganges and flowing to the ocean of Krishna's lotus feet. You see, it reaches that stage eventually. Right now, in the sadhana stage, we have to work hard. Our senses have to be curbed down. They keep wanting to pull us into illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling, profit, adoration, and distinction. They keep pulling us, and we get to keep curbing them down, but gradually, we'll win this war with Maya. And we'll become, instead of Godas, our present position, we'll become actually Goswamis. We'll bring our senses fully under control. And then it'll become very easy to be Krishna conscious. So now work hard. It's a struggle now in our neophyte stage, but now work hard. Struggle with full enthusiasm and determination to bring those senses under control. And then gradually, it'll just become spontaneous. And then, you know, we'll taste the sweetest nectar. There'll be no distress, no difficulties for us. We come to that stage of pure bhakti. So I can ask now if there's any questions. You're raising your hand back there? Okay. Speak loud. My hearing is especially bad today.
Interesting, you mentioned that about the devotees, somewhere the devotees going for the cinema and all that. So my question is this, that we know that as devotees, we know that we want to purify our existence and go back home, back to Godhead. So why would one want to indulge into the sinful?
Yes, sometimes we see a neophyte devotee because he's not getting a taste, because he's not diving deeply enough into the holy name, he's not diving deeply enough into sadhu sangha. He's feeling something lacking, so he tries to fill it in by watching some, you know, going to the cinema, watching a mundane show, because he's not feeling the satisfaction. But actually, these things are very bad for us. Prabhupada explained how, of course, Prabhupada was always flying on the airplanes. And, you know, on these international flights, they show the movies. So Prabhupada said how these things were so bad, and he would close his eyes. So because those impressions that we get of the karmis and engaged in sense enjoyment, those impressions are very dangerous, and they linger in the heart. Even after the movie's over, the movie keeps playing in the heart. So Prabhupada said he would actually close his eyes rather than to see the movie images on the screen in the airplane. So it's not a very intelligent thing. If we feel not lacking in happiness, that we try to find some temporary sense of happiness in the cinema or in television. Because all we're doing is polluting ourselves. So what one has to do is take help. If I'm not tasting the nectar, I need to find a devotee who is tasting the nectar. I need to take shelter of that devotee so he can bless me that I can also taste the nectar, you see. It's actually not difficult to taste the nectar. Just like I've many times given the example of the bicycle riders in India. You see, some of these villages, they have to go a long distance on their bicycle, but they make it easy by grabbing hold of a bus or a truck and going for a ride. No problem. We see that in America, they would immediately get a ticket. They would not allow it. But in India, no problem. Just grab a hold of the bus or the truck and go for a free ride. You see. So in the same way, if we take shelter of those devotees who are actually relishing the nectar of Krishna consciousness at every minute. You see. That's why we need a guru, a spiritual master, someone who's tasting the nectar at every minute. If we take shelter of devotees who are tasting that nectar at every minute, then we can, then by their blessings, we will also taste that nectar. But if I'm proud, if I'm not humble, I won't want to do that. And that's the problem. Pride, therefore, is the greatest enemy. But if one can become truly humble and take shelter of devotees who are more advanced, who are tasting more nectar than me, then one can easily give up these habits like cinema, television, etc. We actually made this point in Mombasa also, and then it turned out that there was one initiated devotee who was watching television. And she, after she heard that, she said, I'm not going to watch television anymore. I made the point that people who watch television, they develop noodle brains, you see. Even the karmis, they say like that. If you watch television, you become less intelligent. Even the karmis say this. There are karmis who have bumper stickers, you know, ban television, because they know it lowers the intellect, the IQ. The more you watch television, your IQ goes down. So this initiated devotee, she's actually just a 12-year-old girl, actually. But she resolved after that, I'm not going to watch television anymore. Now that Sankarshan Prabhu is told that I'll become noodle brain. No more television, you see. Yes, that was from his boyhood days. You didn't find him when he was, what is that? It's not when Prabhupada came to America to start this movement. He heard there was a Charlie Chaplin series playing in town, and he went to see the Charlie Chaplin movies. You see? That was when he was a boy, he saw the Charlie Chaplin movie. You see? It's not that now that he's a spiritual master, he takes the evening off to go to the cinema. Prabhupada never did that. Now, there was one time when there was a Charlie Chaplin movie on the plane, and Prabhupada did watch that movie. That's a fact. Because there was no sinful activities, you know. Wasn't there was some love scene or illicit sex or something like that. Prabhupada did watch one Charlie Chaplin movie that came on the airplane. And he used Charlie Chaplin example of that one story, but we often give that example about being enthusiastic. But that doesn't, because Prabhupada did watch that one Charlie Chaplin movie on the airplane, it doesn't give us license to go to the cinema. You understand?
So it can't be the discussion to be seen on the sea. So it can't be our discussion to pick movies you want to see?
Can we use our discretion to see what movie you want to see?
Like, for example, there's a movie called Passion of Christ.
I'll give you this concession. If you're on an airplane with Prabhupada, and he's watching the Charlie Chaplin movie, you can watch it with them. If Prabhupada's watching the movie, you can watch it with them. I'll give you that concession. If you're on an airplane and you're even in a Charlie Chaplin movie comes on, you can watch the Charlie Chaplin movie. That I'll give you that concession. If you're on the airplane and there's a Charlie Chaplin movie, but don't watch the other ones, just Charlie Chaplin only. I'll give you a special concession. You can watch Charlie Chaplin movies not to go and pay a ticket, but if you're on the airplane and it's in front of you, then you can watch it. It's okay. All right? If you're on an airplane and they show Charlie Chaplin, you can watch it. It's okay.
There's a movie called Passion of Christ. Is that very beautiful? No? I saw it.
What's he saying?
It's called Passion of Christ. Passion of Christ.
There's a movie called Passion of Christ.
So that is very beautiful. You go and see it.
Passion?
Passion was made by Mel Gibson of one of the superstars.
Passion of
Christ. Christ.
Passion of Christ. Oh, these movies are not very good. I heard something. They're not very spiritual. No need to go see. Just read Prabhupada's books. That is sufficient. You don't need to go to the cinema. Do you think these sadhus here, in the middle of the 7-day recitation of the Bhagavatam, would take the evening off to go to the cinema? Even if there was, of course there was no cinema then. But do you think they would take off in the evening to go cinema? Well, we'll come back tomorrow, you know, to hear the rest of the conversation. No, they were sitting with rapt attention for 7 days. They had no desire that, oh, we should need to take a break for the cinema. You see? If I'm feeling the urge for cinema, it means I am not getting the taste. That's what it means. I'm not getting the taste. I'm not intensely hearing. I'm not focusing my mind on what's being spoken. If we focus, just like, you know, that, what is that beam? Laser beam. The laser is a finely focused ray of light. It is so powerful, it can cut through metal. You know that? So if we will laser focus our consciousness, time and tide wait for no man. If we will laser focus our consciousness by hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam, it will burn through all that dirt in the heart. It will burn through all those things that separate you from pure devotional service. You see? If you want cinema, then I will tell you there's a very nice cinema house. I'll tell you how to get there. And you, we go to that cinema house, you can watch the movies eternally. That cinema house is right there in your heart. You see? Prabhupada explains there's a mystic television within the heart. So if one becomes purified, then you can see the leelas of Krishna going on at every minute within your heart. And not only that, but in this cinema, you can actually jump into the movie and be part of it. So where you can do that? At a mundane cinema house. I like the movie, I think I'll jump in and be part of it. You cannot do that. But in this cinema, you can actually jump in and be part of it. Be part of the cinema. If you like the scene, you can jump in and be part of it. So that's cinema we are giving you. But if you watch mundane cinema, you'll never get to this cinema house. You'll be stuck in the passion of Christ and this and that. You see, they had like the movie now, the popular movie. What is that movie? Popular movie now? Guru. You see? Guru. You seen that poster? Guru? Some karmi guy, you know, guru. What a ridiculous thing. So we'll stop here.
Just one comment.
Yes, okay.
Prabhupada used the word cinema about 353 times during 4 years of his preaching. Prabhupada used the word cinema about 353 times during his preaching. And he has always talked against this cinema. Always against.
So there we go. If we want to take the votes, bring in all the votes for and against Simana. There's 353 votes against and 0 votes for. This is called democracy. We'll take a poll of all the Jagad Gurus in our movement. And there's, you know, we'll take a poll of all the founder acharyas in our movement. And what votes they give, that will be the deciding factor. So all the founder acharyas, namely Srila Prabhupada, has voted 353 times against and 0 and 4. Therefore, the vote passes that cinema should not be indulged in. Prabhupada has voted 353 against and 0 for, so that's it. No cinema. We're pulling the plug on the cinema houses. Until they put Krishna Katha, given by the pure devotees, not by this Bollywood jokers, Narayan, Narayan, that kind of jokes. You know, the Narad Muni, that cartoon character. They ruin, even these Hindi movies, they spoil the actual flavor of pure bhakti. We want that our proper movies, guided by the pure devotees, then we can flood the cinema houses with movies and let everyone come and watch Ramayan, Mahabharat, Bhagavatam. Jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.